Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is the epistle reading from the second chapter of Philippians. Non-Christians in the Western world typically have no idea how Christianized Western culture is and has been for centuries. Our text today points out one way in which the Western culture has been molded by Christianity. In the pre-Christian era, people did not think or live their lives in accordance with verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. In the ancient world, there were always those who insisted they were more significant than others, and there were those who acknowledged that they were not as significant as others. Well, inside one's family, the ancient world might have thought it appropriate to count others as more significant than yourself, but by and large, societies had and have hierarchies. There were those who were more important than you and others who were less important than you. You knew your status and you abided by your station in life. Now, I don't want to claim too much. The Western world doesn't abide wholeheartedly to Christ's teaching, but then Christ's church doesn't abide wholeheartedly by Christ's teaching either. But Christianity really has had a significant influence. You can hear the influence of verse 3 in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And I ran across a positive and a negative example of regarding others as more significant than yourself last week. Victor Davis Hanson asked a man why he came from Mexico to live in the United States. And Victor expected the man to say, for work, or for money, or to seek his fortune. But that's not why the man left Mexico. The man said that in Mexico, he was never addressed as Señor Sanchez. It was always, hey, you. But he came to America, and one year when he was working up here, he got sick, he went to the doctor, and the doctor addressed me, he said, as Mr. Sanchez. And so he told Victor Davis Hanson, the reason I wanted to stay in the United States was because a doctor gave me the respect of the title Mr., or in my language, Señor. Now, because of the influence of Christianity, no one in the United States would find it remarkable to treat someone else as their equal and give another man the respect of the title Mr. or Señor. But it meant the world to Señor Sanchez. So, verse 3 has had a big impact in Western culture. Not so much in Mexico where he came from, but it certainly has here. However, the central point of our text isn't verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's not the most significant part of our text because verse 3 states the law. Verse 3 states what we are to do and what we are not to do. And that's the problem because we always struggle when we are told what to do and what not to do. We struggle against the old sinful nature that doesn't want to be told what to do and what not to do by anyone. We struggle against the old sinful nature because it really doesn't like to be told what Paul tells us to do. and if verse 3 were the central part of the text, we would be put to shame because we all so often fail to do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not to only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So in regard to this law, we justly deserve God's present and eternal punishment. The law tells us what God expects us to do and not to do. On the other hand, the gospel tells us what God in Christ has done to wash away our sins. The law is discouraging. We never measure up. The gospel is encouraging. And so, Paul starts out chapter 2 with these words, if there is any encouragement in Christ. And of course, our encouragement is in Christ. Our encouragement comes from Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. These words tell us that God our Father, in his humility, counted others as more significant than himself. Now, no one in the ancient world would be surprised or appalled by the story of God telling Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. In the ancient world, if the gods had sons, by definition, the gods' sons were more important than the sons of men. The superiority of the gods gave them the right to demand the life of a man's son, but certainly not vice versa. So consider how startling it is that God would consider your sons and your daughters as more important than his own son, the son whom he loves. Consider once again how startling the words of Jesus are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. At that time, neither Nicodemus nor any of the disciples really understood what it might mean, what the ramifications would be for God giving his son. But Paul knew the full ramification, and we know it. Through the scriptures, we know the full ramification that God gave his son to become a servant. God gave his son not only to serve the Father, but also to serve us. God gave his son, who humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ died because among our many sins, we fail to do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We fail to look not only to our own interests, but the interests of others. But God does not look only to his own interests, but also he looks to the interests of others. And his son does not look only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. That is the kind of Father we have in heaven. That is the kind of Savior we have in Jesus. And God our Father wants his children to be like he is. He wants us to regard others as more significant than ourselves. He does not want his children to be like Satan. For Satan thinks only of his own interests. God does not want his children to be like Satan, who regards himself as more significant than anyone else. Paul put it this way: do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's the kind of children God wants us to be, because that's the kind of God he is. And that is the kind of God that Jesus is. If anyone had a right to grumble regarding others more important than himself, it was Jesus. He could have grumbled about his disciples, who are sometimes disappointing and really slow to catch on. He could have grumbled about disciples who swore they would rather die than deny him, and within hours denied him or ran away. In their rivalry, James and John wanted the seats of honor on his right and his left, instead of the humility of counting others as more significant than themselves. And we have worn their shoes much too often. And yet, Christ died for the ungodly, knowing all our selfishness and self-centeredness, knowing our propensity to judge others as less significant than ourselves. Jesus did not grumble or complain when his Father asked him to lay down his life for the sheep. And in his death, Christ, counting our lives as more significant than his torturous death, carried out our sins with him, carried them to the grave, buried them, and left them there. He arose from the grave, but our sins did not. And today, as his children, let us regard others as more important than ourselves as we come and kneel at the altar rail together, shoulder to shoulder, sisters and brothers in Christ. For we come knowing that our need of his body and blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness is just as great as everyone else at the communion rail with us. Counting our need of forgiveness as great as those at the rail with us, we receive full and free forgiveness through faith in Christ's promise that his blood is the blood of the new covenant, given and shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Well, our attempts to regard others as more important than ourselves will always be disappointing and discouraging. The devil and our old sinful nature are too powerfully with us for us to regard others as more important than ourselves without fail. Even with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit given us in baptism, humility and counting others as more important than ourselves will always be a struggle. But never forget Paul's opening sentence: if there is any encouragement in Christ. And there certainly is encouragement in Christ. As Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We are encouraged that despite our sins, Christ has redeemed us and set us free to be people of God. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.